Ipava is a small Fulton County town today, but during the Second World War, it was home to one of the nation's largest military bases.
After it was built, it was the second largest city in Illinois. Only Chicago was larger than Camp Ellis during 1943, 4, and 5.
That's Marion Cornelius, founder of Easley Pioneer Museum in Ipava. I'm Daniel Musisi, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio.
Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from State Farm agent Aaron Kilgore. A Peoria native and active community member, Aaron can help customers with auto, home, and life insurance needs. Information at aaronismyagent.com.
Today is Monday, November 2nd, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. You may have noticed the Peoria Heights Sculpture Walk adorned with several carved limestone pieces along Prospect Avenue and the Keller Branch Recreation Trail. WCBU student reporter Olivia Streeter has more on their origins.
The mastermind behind these unique sculptures is Dr. William Qualick, an insect expert who spent a career doing statistical analysis at Peoria's Ag Lab. Qualick died in 2004. The pieces, along with others in wood, granite, and other materials, continued to adorn his Peoria yard and home until his wife, Marie, passed away last year. The couple's seven children then held an estate sale. This is how Hugh Higgins, the owner and operator of Hearth in the Heights, stumbled upon them.
Thanks to the generosity of the Qualick family estate, we purchased two and they donated one as well on the Rock Island Trail, right at the intersection of Glen Avenue, where there's a stoplight. These three pieces can give people a place to pause, contemplate.
Higgins says he is beyond thrilled that Qualick is now getting the recognition he deserves.
The greatest piece of it all, this man's work is being recognized. He was just this quiet artist, unassuming, who did the work for the love of doing the work.
William Qualick's son, Jim Qualick, says that his father had a specific mindset when he sculpted his projects.
It's really a challenge for the viewer as to what you see in each of these pieces. And that was something my father really held close to his chest. He really sat back and wanted the viewer to look at these pieces and come up to their own conclusions as to what was it that tingled the viewer's mind.
For more information on Qualick's work and where to find it, visit WCBU.org. I'm Olivia Streeter.
Here are some of the stories on deck in the WCBU newsroom. Peoria area law enforcement officials are preparing for any polling place security disruptions that may arise on Election Day. Bradley University's COVID-19 campus positivity rate has dropped to its lowest level ever, but the university failed to meet its weekly goal for number of tests. And a newly formed Commission on Racial Justice aims to bolster justice and equity throughout the city and county. Find more on these stories and others at WCBU.org. 81-year-old Marion Cornelius knew Camp Ellis in southern Fulton County as a boy. His father was in the Illinois National Guard that used the site until 1949. WCBU's Steve Tarter talked to Cornelius, the founder of the Easley Pioneer Museum, earlier this month, surrounded by the memories of the World War II camp that once occupied Ipava, some 50 miles from Peoria.
A lot of people that come into the museum think that Camp Ellis was a prisoner of war camp, and that seems to be a big deal. But it really wasn't a prisoner of war camp as far as what was intended. They didn't intend to have prisoners of war at all as they started Camp Ellis. So December 7, 1941, when Pearl Harbor happened, that put Camp Ellis on the front burner. They decided to develop it very quickly.
When they look at it now, and it's a small town, agricultural area as it is, as it was, but during that year, of those years, late years of World War II, it was huge.
There was little in the state of Illinois that was as large as Camp Ellis. One of the things that I tell people that they're amazed to hear is that after it was built, it was the second largest city in Illinois. Only Chicago was larger than Camp Ellis during 1943, 4, and 5.
So how many folks approximately were here during its heyday?
There probably weren't more than about 100,000 people here during normal days. For instance, what I tell people, you're sitting in Ipava right now and you're listening to this. And if we would go out 6 miles and draw a 6 mile radius circle around us. Inside that circle today, there might be 500 people, but I doubt it. In terms of population, it's a small area. But if you'd been sitting right here in 1943 on dedication day of Camp Ellis, and you consider that same 6 mile radius circle, there were probably close to 250,000 people in that circle that day.
Why should we remember Camp Ellis? It's all but a few vestige buildings. I mean, what's left?
There's very little left there now. When they built the camp, not only were the people there, but they built 2,200 buildings in 13 months. All of that material had to be hauled in by the railroad. Semis didn't really exist at that time like we know them today. In fact, Route 136 that goes by Camp Ellis today wasn't Route 136, it was Route 10. It was the only hard surface road right here.
It got well used, I imagine.
Yes, it did get well used.
Why should we recall this now that it's back to its original state, farmland and open area?
When I have groups of people here, I like to kind of refer to Tom Brokaw, and he called it the greatest generation. And the more I look at it, the more I think he was right, but he was wrong. It was even more than the greatest generation. Camp Ellis was built. It was done here in Fulton County in west central Illinois. But at the same time, there were Air Force bases and Army bases and Navy bases built all around our country. At the same time that we were, if you've ever read the Manhattan Project, which is about the atomic bomb, all of that took place at the same time Camp Ellis was taking place. Mm-hmm. Rosie the Riveter, all of those things that happened, all of the machinery that was produced was just a phenomenal thing. It would be very difficult to do it again. And I think that's the thing that is most important about remembering about Camp Ellis, what it did, what it was like. You have to put together all the other things that happened around the country. And that brought an end to World War II, and that was pretty important.
That's founder of the Easley Pioneer Museum, Marion Cornelius, talking to Steve Tarter. To hear the full conversation, visit wcbu.org. Thanks for choosing WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. I'm Daniel Musisi. Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from State Farm agent Aaron Kilgore. A Peoria native and active community member, Aaron can help customers with auto, home, and life insurance needs. Information at aaronismyagent.com.